find out. And I would even tell them, now you've got to use your head here, I would even tell them that, depending on what they tell you, it might be a good idea. You can never, the church protects, in other words, you cannot ever tell them that whatever the community cannot find out by its own external observation is the church's general law. The one in charge of formation or the superior does not have a canonical right to require that knowledge. Right? So you might tell them it would be good for you. It seems to me this is something you'll have to work at. Now we will keep it as confidential as necessary, but I think it would be worth your while to have me share this and even specify with whom. Okay. To whom should this be made? We're talking about the general law of the church and not such exceptions as exist, say, for the Society of Jesus. In general, to those who are authorized in the community. So the manifestation of conscience may be made to those in charge of formation, may be made to a superior, and by the way, there too. Sometimes, maybe the person in charge of formation may be a younger person, and the superior may be an older person. Recognize that. And maybe the young candidate might find it easier to make this kind of manifestation to the superior. And you be humble enough to say, well, would you want to maybe make it to your mother provincial, the mother general, you see? Nevertheless, somebody must be authorized to receive the manifestation. What's the manner of manifestation? Now, the two obvious ways, in writing and in speaking. Now, you notice I put it down first for writing. Now, some people couldn't care less. They will put it in writing, they will talk about it. In fact, they may be even imprudent. And not only for those in authority, but by the time the novitiate is finished, everybody in the novitiate knows about some person's past life. Well, that may raise some questions about the person's prudence and good judgment if we talk about their past life to everybody. There's such a thing, as you know, as moral exhibitionism. Writing, as Sister Linda mentioned, and I have recommended this over the years, is a very useful means of obtaining that kind of manifestation, which I think most people, there are exceptions, most people find it easier to express themselves in some matters in writing than in speaking. Have you found that? At least this has been my experience. I get, for example, letters from people, then we meet. Well, they will tell you things in writing they would never express verbally. Okay? Recognize that. Both, however, are useful. One advantage of writing manifestation is it saves you a lot of time. And it's really more efficient, because for some people it takes them such a long time to get to the point that, well, the manifestation may have taken only about 2 minutes. It took them 2 or more hours to get to that point. Whereas if they write, first of all, most people don't like to write all that much. They'll get to the point more quickly. Moreover, it's much easier to read. You can read 1,000 words in a couple of minutes. You can hardly listen to. And by the time you've heard somebody talking for 20 minutes, you may have forgotten. And sometimes people, this is human nature, they will suddenly drop into sotto voce, and something which is really important. Now, you don't quite grasp it. People lapse into ambiguities. they would use paraphrase or double talk. And especially when it's embarrassing. So, in writing, if they use double talk, well, you can spot it immediately. In any case, writing is a very useful means of self-manifestation. I would recommend, however, that it be very clear that if they put things in writing, whom that writing is intended for, make it very clear, you know, beforehand. Later on, you may want to share this with somebody. Unless there has been that kind of permission obtained, do not share it. Is this meant just for me? May I keep it? May I keep it, say, even after, suppose I leave office? Which most people do leave office. Can it be kept in the file? Depending, of course, on the nature of the information. Think through beforehand when you put aside what people write for you. Now, my own habit, because I'm not a provincial or, let me say, mother general, and how happy I am that I have no authority in canon law. What I receive from people, unless they want me to keep it, I return to them. Which is something you might think about.
They could pass it on,
save some time. It's just, and by the way, for some people it's traumatic to do that, right? And if they grow in, we hope, sanctity, it might be easier later on to share it than it was at the beginning. There may be things which they want to add to that. Believe me, your religious will respect you no end. And I've got a whole section here on confidentiality. It's very important.
And then it would really be in their own possession.
Yes.
For kings and so forth.
Yes, so that they can use it or destroy it or receive it. I sometimes even read things even in their presence to make sure that they don't suspect me that maybe while I took it from their presence, I made a Xerox copy and... Because, and this is men too, but men tend to be much more self-manifestative. Father nature sometimes too much so. Women are the opposite. This is the way God made them. And consequently, that if they put something together on paper, even that other people don't, you know about it, might be given right back to them. Also, the one advantage that I have found, if you're going to save it, and you may, be sure to get their permission. Because later on, this can create problems. And this should be noted, by the way, if it's something which can be kept in the archives, as we call, can you use the word archives? Be sure that is noted on the paper, you see? And if there are any conditions for the sharing of this confidential matter, that should be noted down. You see? And because some people, women particularly, tend to hesitate to manifest their interior light, especially when it touches on their virtue, that they should know what use is going to be made of that. And by the way, that it must never, and this is not an easy rule to keep, it may never be used against them. It can only be used to help them. And that may not be easy because you may know something very compromising about that person. I really think there are many reasons. But among those that in my now 12 years of writing to the Holy See about religious communities, I have more than once said one of the contributing reasons to the crisis and even the dissolution of so many communities, once strong in a country like ours, has been the large-scale betrayal of confidence. And afterward, they wonder whom they can trust. Now, men are capable of this too. Don't misunderstand me. But I think women, because of your nature, you've got to be especially careful. Now the range. The range of manifestation. What time do you people have? Just now I have the time. Do we still have 15 minutes? Oh, we have 10 minutes. You notice we took no break. Can you take 10 more minutes? Because this is not the boring type of communication. It's something which I think we all sense is important. The range. It should be both external and internal. Now, the internal is, for most people, the hardest thing to manifest. They hardly know where to begin. They hardly know what to say. Why they did things. Their motivation. Now, if it's mainly external, most people say enough externally, it's like watching people's conduct. You watch them long enough, you can pretty well judge their internal motives. But don't be too sure, because people can have, and this is one thing I've discovered, and by now, and how many thousand people have manifested their conscience to this unworthy person. One thing that I can share with you is that the manifestation of the reason why we do things is particularly difficult where I myself may not be sure why I did something. Now, one good rule I found with, say, younger people, younger at least in the religious life, you've got to protect yourself. You might almost must have shock absorbers in dealing with young people these days. That a great deal of the wrong that people do nowadays, they do in ignorance. Honest, it's ignorance. I don't mean they don't know anything about why something's wrong. But one of the main reasons why they go through a period of formation is to grow in the realization of the seriousness, either as virtue or as sin, of certain things which people nowadays just take for granted. And finally, this is called self-disclosure, where the word self is understood in two senses. It is both of the self and by the self. So it's about me that I am manifesting myself. The voluntariety we've already dwelt on, let me just mention. The best way, I think, to make sure that whatever manifestation, those who manifest their consciences to you, to make sure that it's voluntary, is to inform them and enlighten them about the value of self-disclosure. Secondly, there must be no compulsion. Now tell me all about yourself. Well, no. Use phrases and expressions that will not seem to be compulsive. And even, for example, don't work on persuasion. You might say, well, I didn't coerce, I just persuaded. Well, that's not right either. The difference between coercion and persuasion is, when you coerce, you threaten. When you persuade, you appeal. You get the difference? In either case, it must be thoroughly voluntary. One means that I have found in dealing with souls is learn the art of your own self-disclosure. If you don't see more than you want to, know how much you wish to disclose. There is nothing that draws people's hearts out more to you than by your, as far as circumstances will allow, manifest yourself. Now, what's the purpose? The purpose is threefold. First, humility. Second, knowledge of the person by the community, so the person can be best used for the purpose for which the community is instituted. And third, and this should be stressed, for more effective guidance. Now, regarding confidentiality, we've talked about this, but in general, no communication with matters that are considered confidential with others except with a person's permission, either explicit or implicit. I would say this is an art which has to be developed, and it is something which is very much respected, and your own effectiveness will be enhanced if you realize you are solicitous not to share this with anyone else except those with whom they wish that this should be shared. And finally, in terms of what I call universality, for those who are directing souls, you've got to be constantly on the lookout to watch out for your own curiosity. Remember, the purpose of having the person disclose him or herself is to help that person. Don't fill it out, and even you might tell the person, "No, that's enough. I don't need to hear anymore." It should be only to help, and never to somehow satisfy your own curiosity, to learn more about the person because it makes you feel good that now, I know things about her that nobody else does. The purpose of self-disclosure must only be to assist in spiritual direction. One more word before we close, because it's time, isn't it? To distinguish between two kinds of self-disclosure, and this from the beginning, the kind of self-disclosure that is necessary here and now, say to admit the person into the community, certain things that need to be known, certain things that need to be known in forming that person in their early years, in the postulancy or novitiate, and certain things that maybe should be kept on file for the rest of that person's life in order to guide that person even beyond their first, or for that matter, final vows.
This concludes Father Hardin's talk on the manifestation of conscience.